Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron, time and time again. Through the years, you'll find us here, Moving Iron.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Sean Hackett. Sean, how you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Still watching this crazy wild weather we're having, as you know.
Yeah, it's a... So I got a news flash. The summer called in with the snow day. And they're going to extend summer one more day. That way, we can have full length summer this year. We've had snow out here for the last 2 days, so it's a very odd thing to have snow this late in May, probably anywhere. So it's nuts. So what do you see happening out there right now? I mean, we've talked about this a lot on here, whether it be the solar cycles or whatever it is that's going on, but these weather patterns are at an all-time high for craziness right now.
They are, and it is part of the larger solar cycle that we've talked about many times before. But right now, I mean, we're in this very active, stagnant weather pattern, and it does not look like it's going to break. It doesn't look like it's going to break really anytime soon. I mean, we can get periods where we get a little less in certain areas, but overall, you know, this wet pattern does appear like it's going to continue into June, Casey, and it's going to continue to cause more and more problems, especially the further we get into June, then soybeans become more of a concern because everyone still feels, well, if June's okay, we can get the soybeans planted at least, and if Trump, you know, puts a, you know, gives farmers a $2 payment, then that'll happen, but that still may not happen because I'm not sure the weather's going to cooperate. So it's a mess.
Yeah.
So the market's still in this how bad is bad and how high do we have to go to factor it all in, and so we're in the midst of it, but I do not believe we've gotten to the end of how high prices need to go to correctly factor everything that's taking place. We're still in motion on this. So.
Yeah. Well, you take a look at the markets right now and you see what's happened. I mean, corn like yesterday closed at 410. It's a little open, a little softer today in the morning session as it gets ready to get started here. But so from 410 down from whatever it was, 460 something or whatever, we've had about a 50 or 60 cent run here in the last 2 weeks. And with really no end in sight, you know, if you factor out the China stuff and the stuff that's there, it's a. It's really kind of taken up. The China thing's factored out. You don't have to worry about anything there. It's as bad as it's going to get. You can't get any worse type of thing. We got the new USMCA or whatever it's called now, the new NAFTA deal. That got pretty much finalized, and it sounds like everybody's in agreement there. We're going to move forward with that. So there's some good things there. But long term, man, I tell you, it's going to be a struggle to keep to get hit just in the I states, especially to hit the crop insurance date. So what do you think, what are you seeing happening there, and how's that playing into what you see happening?
And we're running out of time. I mean, we're really running out of time, you know, especially for corn, we're really running out of time. And, you know, we're just going to have pre-bid plants all over the place. And I'll hear it every day from customers that are just, you know, that's what's going to happen. And, you know, when you're at 15-20% planting rates and you're supposed to be at 80%, and you're looking at the calendar and you're looking at the weather forecast for the next 2 weeks, it's just not going to happen, Casey. And what one of the things that I think is being underappreciated is that the ground that has been planted, there's quite a few acres that are not, that need to be replanted.
Right.
If we got 50% of the crop in the ground, but we really don't actually, because I don't know what the number is, but maybe, you know, 10% of it or 15% of it actually needs to be planted, so it's not actually planted.
Right.
And of course, what did get planted, the soil saturation levels in 85% of the grain belt today are at 99 percentile levels. So anything that did get planted that is coming out of the ground, when you plant in that kind of soil saturation levels, the yields are going to absolutely be compromised. We can argue how much, but it's, there's no way you're producing a top-end, high-end yield with planting in just sludge like
right.
that. So, but it could take time for the market to get tanner. There's a lot of old crop that farmers are desperate to move, and they're keeping this, they're keeping the rally contained right now because farmers are moving a lot of grain just because they have to. But once that overhang, the market kind of gets worked out and farmers feel comfortable with what they've sold and free up storage and all that sort of thing, I really think we could enter an air pocket, sometime in June, but we're still trying to eat through that farmer selling that keeps coming into the market. And I think, like the correction we saw yesterday to today, it's just overwhelmed. It's just a short-term farmer selling overwhelming the market a little bit.
Right. Yeah, so there's a... you've watched soybeans here, and they've had a pretty good run here the last week and a half. And obviously, it's corn that's out there that's driving that boat. But if you're a farmer right now and you're looking at prevent plant versus prevent plant, and maybe then planting some soybeans on top of that prevent plant, and how that whole insurance thing plays out, I don't know that you want to jump into soybeans. I mean, maybe it's just me, but it seems like there's a ton of soybeans out there. There's going to be more with what's happening in Brazil right now. They're having record crops down there. I don't know. I guess, what's your take on soybeans?
I mean, it's a demand problem. The African swine fever, forget the tariff loss of demand. We have actual demand loss
from
that swine fever, and we just don't know how long is bean meal demand going to be down. How long is it going to take for them to rebuild their hog herd? Can they get their hands around the problem? I mean, if I'm a big hog producer in China and, do I really want to put all kinds of money in expanding my herd if all of a sudden, we're going to get African swine fever back and I'm going to have to liquidate? It's just so much uncertainty about it that we could be looking at an extended period of reduced need or demand need for soybeans from China. So with that outlook, I'm not sure I want to be a big planter of soybeans, unless you're betting on a big government payment and you can get, you could pull it off, but I just would rather not be in a market where demand's permanently destroyed for a while and we don't know when it's coming back. Corn demand's fine. Corn demand's good. Corn demand's solid. And the balance sheets are going to get really, really tight. So, I certainly favor corn and even wheat, but soybeans is problematic. But I, it's a bet that we wouldn't be making right now.
So speaking of wheat, the wheat market has been getting kicked around here and had a pretty decent run, but a lot of that, again, is weather related. So you've got, at a certain stage in the growth of wheat, and you're getting a ton of water on top of it. I just talked to my folks back in Wichita, and they've probably got, I think my brother, he likes to exaggerate a little bit, but he said they've gotten about 10 inches of rain, over the course of a week. I tend to believe because of what stuff looks like down there. It's just flooded crazy all over the place. The entire state's that way. So talk about the wheat market, where you see it headed.
Yeah, well, remember, rain is great. Moisture is great for winter wheat when it comes to that dormancy, but not now.
Right.
Not now. You do not want all kinds of rains at the tail end of development and when you're getting ready to get the harvesters rolling. That's not when you... It's actually the worst case for heavy, heavy rains. And the other issue is because it's been so much cool. I mean, it was 48 degrees and heavy rains and blowing winds the last couple of days. I mean, the crop isn't finished out yet. I mean, we're still kind of behind on our development. So not only do we not have it finished the crop out, but then we're putting on 5 to 7, maybe in some instances 10 inches of rain. It's a real mess. And so, yields are going to be severely compromised. Quality is going to be severely compromised. And the point we're trying to make is that means that there's a certain quality that people expect from Kansas City wheat, and they're not going to get it. I mean, the percentage of Kansas City wheat coming out of Oklahoma, coming out of Kansas, that's going to meet the protein levels that are needed or wanted by the buyer aren't going to be there. So we foresee a significant higher quality wheat demand shortage, especially with Trump going on with spring wheat in the northern tier states. And we always talk about this, the yin and the yang.
Mm-hmm.
Cats can't buy a drop of rain. They've had the driest 9 months in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, ever.
Yep.
They've been reporting weather up there. So where we can't get rid of the rain, they can't buy a drop of rain. So the spring wheat crop in Canada is severely in question right now. So when we put it all together, we think we can have an okay amount of low quality wheat. But we think we're going to have a real big problem, the higher quality side, the KC wheat side, the Minneapolis wheat, spring wheat side. And so that means that the price rise we've been seeing for the wheat overall is going to continue. And yes, there's a lot of crop supplies now that farmers are moving, and and that's part of the yin and yang we're dealing with, but we just don't see that we're at the end of this wheat rally. We think we got much further to go. And any correction that we see like today or that we saw like, a few days ago, we had a correction of wheat and it came roaring right back. The weather forecast for the southern plains, Oklahoma and Kansas just looks dreadful.
Yeah.
It's just dreadful.
So. Yeah, it's definitely a mess. So to talk about a mess, take a look at what's happening overseas right now and how that's affecting the oil market. You know, we are doing some saber rattling here with Iran and they're pushing buttons all over the place in the Middle East and messing with the Saudis and their oil distribution centers and everything else. So the West Texas Intermediate Index, it had a pretty good, has had a pretty decent run here the last 2 weeks for sure. It kind of bounced back and forth through the last couple of days. The Brent sweet crude marketplace has done the same as well. So, we're looking at, $63 West Texas oil, $70 up there, $70+ Brent sweet crude. So look at that and then start talking about how that play into that is going to play into ethanol demand as we look into the summer.
Well, at the end of the day, what it ultimately comes down to is, consumers are going to want to, buy gas that's cheaper than somebody else, and
right.
You can put ethanol in there that's super cheap right now, and you can lower that price, and you can get your buyer to buy from you gas. I mean, it's the competitive nature of markets, and so there's nothing negative about that. And so we do see that the demand for ethanol over the summer, when we're doing a lot of driving, we're spending a lot of money on extra gas, it's a positive thing. Obviously, the corn price going higher, can hurt margins if the ethanol price doesn't move. But ultimately, if we're getting stronger demand for ethanol domestically, and the margins are compressing, then we're eventually going to have to get the price to move higher, and that's going to be a good thing for everybody. So we do think we've gotten away from the worst part of the ethanol crash or the ethanol crisis, whatever you want to call it. We think we're moving into a better place for demand and for overall margins, and that isn't going to be a bad thing for corn, which has been suffering from a little bit here over the last 6 months.
So cattle market. With what we've seen happen with the African swine fever and what's gone there with hogs since the announcement of the lack of China and the U.S. trade talks, there's been a little bit of a struggle there a little bit, and they've kind of gone back and forth. So talk about the cattle market a little bit and what you see happening there.
Well, especially hogs. I mean, hogs have been driven had an adrenaline rush by the fact that the Chinese were buying directly large quantities from the United States. And obviously, since this escalation of the trade war, they canceled some orders, they pulled away from our market, and it doesn't mean that they can do that forever, but they can do it for a little while. And so the hog market's sitting here with large U.S. supplies saying, they're going to buy again, right? Right? Everyone's looking around and saying they're gonna, and so it's hard for the market to make headway when, we do need their demand to keep our domestic supply and demand in at bay, and so it's causing a lot of schizophrenic trading in the hog market. The cattle market, just had, as we talked about last time, got caught in a mass speculator liquidation event. One good news is that on Friday the Japanese lowered tariffs on U.S. beef, and that's something that we have been wanting and working on. Secretary Senator Perdue talked about that, and so that. That them being a larger buyer of U.S. beef probably has put the low in the cattle market, and we're going to start to work higher. But remember, they never weren't buying large quantities directly from the U.S. for cattle to beef. It's always going to be these secondary buyers, the Japanese, the South Koreans. We saw a couple weeks ago the South Koreans bought over half our exports. So we think that the demand side picture for cattle for exports are going to start to improve. But we lack that direct impact of the buying directly from the United States. But it will take place. But the hog market, look, the only thing we know for sure is that eventually the Chinese will have to buy from the U.S., but we do know that they can put it off for a little while. And so at this point, it means that the hog market is going to probably continue to trade pretty widely until we get a handle on when they're back in our market for good, you know?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So there's always a ton of stuff going on. man. So if folks want to reach out to you and ask you questions or just see what your opinion is on something, what's the best way to do that?
I think our website's always the best place. At Hackett, H-A-C-K-E-T-T, advisors.com. They can see free samples of webinars and videos and interviews and white papers that we've done to get a good idea of the kind of thing we do, our smart money indicator that we use for capital flows and markets. And to see if that kind of work and that kind of analysis might be helpful to them, if you're listeners.
Right on. Okay, buddy. Well, a couple things here. If you would like to have a first edition Movie 9 podcast koozie and some pens, man, make sure you DM me out there on Twitter at your address, and I'll send you some out. Make sure you check out Damian Mason's new book, Do Business Better. Good books. Got a lot of good information in there. And hook up with the guys over there at Dryline Farmer Podcast, at Trader Brent, and at NoTwitLandon44 over there on Twitter. And I bet you they'd send you some koozie as well. So, Sean, man, I sure hope you can turn those sunspots back on so it'll quit snowing here. And I think they announced today that summer has a snow day, so there's going to be one more day of summer before school starts. But it's just crazy right now, absolutely nuts. So, Sean, take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you next week, bud.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity as always. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Mellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Please visit MovingIronLLC.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and GlobalAgNetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving